Michael Severs.
The American people are sitting like a bunch of fucks watching a dictatorship emerge in front of their eyes.
Weekdays, noon till 3 on Hot Dog 560 KSFO.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Over the course of the last 5 years, it's almost as if we haven't learned anything at all.
When they're at their home base, they need to feel safe. We don't yet know what happened tonight, but obviously that sense of safety.
Right. You don't know what happened.
Has been.
Were you busy raising money? Once again.
Any shooting is trouble. Obviously, this reopens the pain of what happened at Fort Hood 5 years ago.
Where Muslim, when the Muslim major did it?
Might have happened again. Might have happened again. I don't want to comment on the facts until I know exactly what has happened. But
the Fort Hood shootings, of which you were a victim, are still not recognized by this administration as an act of Islamic terror. Is that true?
This is true.
Deranged or alienated individuals, often U.S. citizens or legal residents, can do enormous damage.
In the White House especially, truthfully. Deranged U.S. citizens in the White House can do more damage than deranged soldiers at Fort Hood. Welcome. I mean, I would be remiss if I didn't know what I was going to talk about. And you know, there's only one thing I have wanted to talk about since I went off the air last night. And so if you want to sound off on the Fort Hood Massacre Part 2, this is becoming like a Weinstein movie, Fort Hood Massacre 2. 855-407-282. Who do you blame? Who do you blame the most? The army brass who pushes the drugging of our troops for the most minor of anxiety. The medical pharmaceutical complex which pushes the drugging of our troops and our children. The feminists in the military who have deballed our men and made them feel impotent and unable to express themselves as warriors. Obama for lying about the stress of combat as the cause of this new massacre. And the second question, and probably the one that you're most going to want to comment on the Savage Nation today, is this. Should soldiers be able to carry on base? You may say, wait a minute, don't they all carry weapons? No, they don't carry weapons. They were disarmed by Bill Clinton. Or was it Jimmy Carter who was afraid of a coup? One of those left-wing presidents, and we'll find out which, I think it was Clinton, disarmed the military on our bases. Because he feared a coup. He hated the military. Let me ask you something. Are police disarmed in a police station waiting for some idiot to break in with a shotgun and kill them all? I'm going to ask you again, you moronic left-wing fools. Would you disarm our police in police stations because they might be dangerous in a police station if they carried a gun? What sense does it make to train a man to carry a gun and use a gun to kill the enemy, and then say we don't trust you to carry a gun on the base? Now, there will be those of you who will argue, well, wait a minute, this is illogical, Michael, because if there are more guns, there'll be more deaths. Well, the reverse is true. Usually men like this are deranged and they're cowards, and they pick targets that can't fight back. Ivan Lopez should drop dead in hell a second time and be tortured over hot coals for killing innocent people and his brothers in arms at that. But aside from that, Ivan Lopez picked on unarmed people knowing none of them would shoot back. That's what Ivan Lopez did. And just like the massacre at the school in Connecticut, when he knew he was about to be caught and killed, he killed himself because it's all about a power trip. Make no mistake about it, Lopez is no victim. He's a filthy, low-life coward. And frankly, if we had more arms on the bases, there would be less murders like this. Secondly, if Nidal Hassan had been killed by now, executed by now, put to his death by now, maybe Lopez wouldn't have been inspired to go and do this. And by the way, we still don't know the full story. We've been told from the first get-go that there's no connection to terrorism. Are you sure of that? Why? Because his name isn't Muhammad? And by the way, do you remember the story that appeared only 2 days before this about the geniuses in our intelligence community on the lookout, an all-points bulletin, an APB, for a Muslim convert who was going to be at Fort Hood. We don't know who he is. Where is he? Where's the Muslim convert that the FBI, the CIA, the whatever the initials are? Where is this guy? You remember that story? FBI and military hunt ex-army recruits suspected of plotting Fort Hood-inspired jihad. I have it on my website. FBI and military hunting for an ex-army recruit suspected of plotting a Fort Hood-inspired jihad. And that was 2 days ago. His name was Booker. He was also known as Muhammad Abdullah Hassan. Now, we know that Lopez did the shooting here, but where is Muhammad Abdullah Hassan? Where is Muhammad Abdullah Hassan? The FBI, the NSA, the CIA, the LSMFT, the ABC, the CBS, the NBC, the CNN, the FOX can't find them. But they know if you burp, and if you burp too loudly, they can run a black helicopter over your roof. I can't take it anymore. We've got a government of useless idiots out of control, turning on the people. That's why this happened. They've disarmed our troops. They are drugging our troops to death. They've deballed our troops with radical feminists telling them what to do and what not to do. If you care to sound off on these questions, as I am sounding off, and here are the questions. Should soldiers be armed on base? Should soldiers carry on base? Who do you blame the most? The army brass who pushes the drugging of our troops? The feminists in the military who have basically disrespected our warriors and put them into a box? Or the president, the commander-in-chief, for lying about the stress of combat as the reason for this tragic event that occurred at Fort Hood? This should not only be about guns, which is, of course, what the media is making it about. It's about medication. We have the most overprescribed society in the history of mankind. And as far as I know, virtually every mass shooting that I have studied, as long as I've been in the media, it has turned out that the shooter has been on antidepressants. Now you say, well, is there a cause and effect? Yes, there is a cause and effect. There is distinctly a cause and effect. Many people are taking drugs that are psychoactive time bombs. And my monologue today is about killing for a good night's sleep. I hope you'll forgive my attempt at levity in today's program, because what I'm about to tell you is very serious. Are you aware of the fact that there are numerous side effects of Ambien? Most of you may be aware of the common side effects of Ambien, which Ivan Lopez was prescribed by an army quack crackpot. Sleepwalking, sleep driving, and even sleep eating. Some of the over-counter sleep aids can even make you itch and tingle and have the opposite intended effect. But you don't know much about that because the drug companies have drugged you into slumber, into thinking that they're perfectly safe. Well, meet 26-year-old Air Force veteran Derek Stansberry. On April 27, 2010, he boarded Delta Flight 273 from Paris to Atlanta. According to press reports, he passed a note to flight attendants that said, "Forgive me, I effed up, I am sorry. My passports and identity are fake. Please let my family know the truth." CNN reports that on that day he wrote he had brought dynamite aboard in his boots and laptop. He was taken down by air marshals. The plane was diverted to Bangor, Maine, where fortunately no explosives were found. Now, Stansberry was an Iraq vet. He had just moved to Texas with his wife and baby. Stansberry was acutely psychotic when he was taken into custody. He told FBI agents that he believed that the passengers were talking about him and that he was being followed. He also told the agents that he was prescribed and was taking Ambien. In 2006, Rhode Island Representative Patrick Kennedy drove to Capitol Hill under Ambien's influence to vote at 2:45 a.m. That's what he said. He was in the car at 2:45 a.m. to vote. Well, he is, of course, a Kennedy. And as you well know, they tend to drive at night to do the work of the people. Well, old Kennedy crashed his car. Now, by 2007, such blackouts were becoming so common that the FDA issued warnings about the potential of complex sleep-related behaviors related to Ambien. Kerry Kennedy, another Kennedy, seems they like this stuff. Used to be scotch, at least scotch you can predict, you can titrate it, and all you'd wind up with is old Teddy Kennedy singing a Mexican song. Those were the good old days. We have him singing the Mexican song to lighten it up and all people can take the pain. Jalisco, we have... In the old days, the Kennedys would get drunk and sing in Mexican or in Lithuanian or in Jewish on Jewish holidays. If they needed Jewish votes, they'd wear a yarmulke.
Jalisco, Jalisco, tu tienes tu novia, me Guadalajara.
Those are the good old days. A good old song from a man who's high on scotch. Today, though, we have such powerful psychoactive drugs doing such enormous damage, and people cannot titrate the way they can titrate alcohol. Carrie Kennedy, daughter of Robert F. Kennedy and former wife of New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, suffered partial seizures and swerved into a tractor trailer and then kept driving. Kennedy told police when she was stopped that she may have confused the Ambien with a daily thyroid med. Of course, she got off because she got the best lawyer in town. You try it the next time you're pulled over for driving while stoned on sleeping pills. Tell them you mixed up your medications. You thought you were taking something for arthritis. See if the judge lets you off the hook. The primary care companion for CNS disorders recently reported Ambien-associated homicides. Let me repeat it. Ambien-associated homicides. Now, I'm going to pause right here because there's another history, and those are antidepressant-related homicides and suicides. There are many children jumping off balconies at NYU and other universities who are prescribed antidepressants, serotonin uptake inhibitors, SRIs. I believe most of them are that, which I'll explain in a few minutes what they do. Unfortunately, many of you have been hoodwinked into believing that these drugs are perfectly safe and there are no possible side effects. Nothing could be further from the truth. And so today's program is devoted to some sanity in a world that has gone mad, a world that is run by incompetent clowns on every possible level, from the government to the military. Wherever you turn, you have yes men with nobody telling you the truth. I hope to correct that record today. And I will take your calls again on the primary questions that I have raised at the beginning. Unfortunately, you can't get through to the show, as I knew you wouldn't. And the reason is because, A, I'm focused like a laser beam on this one topic, number one, because the networks have dropped it as a topic, number two. Disgracefully them, the New York Times, on today's front page, buried this on page A14 in a tiny little column, deadly attack at Fort Hood. Not even a major story to the psychopathic rad libs at the old York Times. Shame on them, but they gave up their shame a long time ago. Anyone who went to work for Pinchy Sulzberger lost the ability to have any self-respect, in my opinion. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com. Take a...
I personally think if you're trained for combat, you ought to be able to carry a weapon. You know, this is the deal. Al-Qaeda and terrorists and jihadists are targeting our military bases. That is a fact. And if they are trained in warfare, they can carry weapons in warfare. It seems to me that there is some logic to allowing them to carry weapons on a military base where they can defend themselves. The problem here, and with Fort Hood, the prior Nadal Hassan case, was that they couldn't defend themselves because they were not allowed to carry a weapon. So I think the policymakers, Congress, we need to revisit this procedure, this policy, to see if we should arm them so they can better protect themselves.
That's Representative Mike McCall. God bless him. He's 100% right. But what's amazing is to think that we're even discussing this after Nadal Hassan's massacre. I am going to go on record once again. I'm calling for an end to the ban on the disarming of our soldiers on bases at home. I'll say it again. I said it before when Nadal Hassan, the Muslim major, went on his rampage. I explained to you that it was started by Carter and then enacted by Bill Clinton. Both of these left-wing fanatics were afraid of a military coup, and one of their first acts as president was to disarm our troops. There was no other reason for it. It was part of the fear of the left of a military coup. Do you understand? Do you get it through your thick heads? what's going on and the damage that these liberals have done and are still doing to our country. And so Obama had the nerve to welcome back the First Lady, who graced us with her presence a few minutes ago. She finished with her globe hopping. Her Easter break is over. Back home now. Mom is home. The daughters are home. And he kissed her on stage to show us what a great marriage he has. And then he had the nerve to tell another whopper. Once again, the minute he opens his mouth, he starts to lie. And there he was again, talking in the fake somber tone that he's known for, to say that this tragic shooting at Fort Hood was the result of the stress, the combat, the horrors of war. Well, this Ivan Lopez apparently was a truck driver in Iraq and never saw any combat. So it doesn't really fit the president's narrative, but that doesn't affect the president's narrative. It never does. But we have to, again, stick to the two factors that are very important that we can have an effect upon. I call for an end to the disarming of our soldiers on our bases. That's number one. I also call an end immediately to the military, medical, pharmaceutical complex that is dumping drugs on our soldiers like they're a bunch of guinea pigs at the University of California, Berkeley. Just a bunch of guinea pigs to sell drugs to and test drugs on. And these are the important facts, the side effects of Ambien, the side effects of serotonin reuptake inhibitors are well known. There are acts of homicide and violence associated with these drugs, and you should know this. And you absolutely should know for your own sake that you may be killing yourself and hopefully not others as well for a good night's sleep. Now I'll take your calls, at least I will momentarily, on the Savage Nation. And again, I raise the other question of the day. Where is Mr. Booker, also known as Muhammad Abdullah Hassan, who as near as 3 days ago the Army was looking for, suspected of plotting a Fort Hood-inspired jihad? And I'll ask a second question, which the empty skirts with blonde hair and fake eyes on Fox News did not ask. Might there be a connection between the ex-Army recruit who they're looking for, who was plotting a Fort Hood-inspired jihad, and this event conducted by Mr. Lopez? Could it be a small cell? Should we dismiss that entirely?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Well, I don't think we've done enough to try to help veterans as they return home. There's varying counts of the amounts of suicide that are committed daily by veterans. There's also,
again,
we know the
again
hundreds
nonsense.
Of thousands of troops come
more
home.
Double talk.
You have PTSD. And my experience
again,
is that
PTSD. PTSD has become the new PMS. That's it. Now that's an excuse now all of a sudden. All of a sudden it's the new PMS now, PTSD. Everyone has it. Everyone's suffering. Everyone's a victim. Nobody can cope. Everybody needs drugs. Everybody needs a shrink. That may not be the reason, sir. It could be that he's drugged to death. It could be the fact that the military is... Well, let me back up. There's too much at one time here. We are talking about the shooting at Fort Hood. It's because the soldiers were not armed that they were shot down like ducks in a barrel. Let me repeat that for those of you who are gunophobic in New York City on the Upper West Side. Those of you who jump when a truck backfires. Those of you who hate the police and call the police when a truck backfires thinking there's a terrorist event and they're coming for you personally. More guns means less death on a military base. Had there been arms on every soldier's hip, after that gun went off and everybody pulled a gun, he would have been dead after the first or second shot. And there wouldn't be a strew of victims lying on the floor. The same with Nidal Hassan. Now you have to ask yourself, why? What? What? Savage, you're telling me that soldiers are disarmed? I didn't know that. How is that possible? Well, one of Bill Clinton's first acts as president after taking office in 1993 was to disarm American servicemen on U.S. military bases. Of course, he then proceeded to gut the U.S. military, by the way, closing one base after another, forcing senior servicemen into retirement in droves. No wonder he wanted those bases disarmed. But that was 20 years ago, and the world has changed dramatically since 1993. Our military installations, because they are gun-free zones, Did you hear what I just said? Our military bases are like Sandy Hook Elementary School. They've now become targets for Muslim terrorists. And still, the cowards with brass on their shoulders refuse to lift Clinton's ban of our military men. I will continue on this path in a moment, but I want to do a flashback so you know that this is not coming from me just today. Neil, this was done a few years ago. I think it was done at the time of the Fort Hood massacre, the first one. Clip number two, let's listen to what I said then. Talking about the insane liberals like Schumer, Turbin Durbin, and others who were talking about gun control, and idiots such as Nadler in New York saying that only the government should have the power to kill, which is astounding to me. I've given you the record of what happened after gun control in various countries, but let me bring it home to you so you can have something to argue about this over Christmas with. Fort Hood massacre. Clinton disarmed soldiers on military bases. So the death of all these people at the Fort Hood military base really falls on the hands of Bill Clinton, but you'll never hear that in the media. Did you hear what I just said to you? Why was one Muslim major, Nidal Hassan, able to walk onto a military base with a few handguns and kill 13 and wound 32? Why was there no return fire? Because our troops were disarmed by Bill Clinton, quote, to stop potential violence. And what happened as a result of Clinton's gun control? The rest is history, the Fort Hood massacre. Muslim Major Nidal Hassan had the gun. The soldiers couldn't defend themselves. They were massacred. They were massacred.
Well, that was then. Now, there's another story that that I'd be remiss if I didn't bring it up again. And I'm the only one in the country, in the media, that I know of putting two and two together.
I'm not sure there's a relationship, but I'm not sure there isn't a relationship. Last Friday, there was an alert put out by the FBI, and the alert had a title on it. The alert was sent out by the FBI's Kansas City Division on Friday and distributed through the United States Marine Corps. The alert had a title, and the title was, quote, Planned Fort Hood-inspired Jihad Against U.S. Soldiers by Army Recruit, close quote. And it was issued to inform and protect officers who may encounter this individual or others exhibiting the same aspirations. The source of the information contained in the alert was listed as an FBI agent. According to the alert issued last Friday, I'll read it to you. On 20 March 2014, the Kansas City Division FBI became aware of an individual named Booker, a.k.a. Muhammad Abdullah Hassan, who had publicly stated his intention to commit jihad, bidding farewell to his friends and making comments indicating his jihad was imminent. Booker had been recruited by the U.S. Army in Kansas City, Mo, in Feb 2014 and was scheduled to report for basic training on 7 April 2014. Kansas City Division agents interviewed Booker on 20 March 2014. Now, the minute this had happened yesterday, the first thought I had was, it's Booker. This guy, Muhammad Abdullah Hassan, did it. Well, as it turned out, it was not Booker. But the question is, where is Muhammad Abdullah Hassan? If there was an all-points bulletin for him out on Friday, and everyone in our intelligence community was looking for him, where is he? Did he have anything to do with this? Doesn't it make common sense to put two and two together if you were a homicide investigator? If you were a common cop in any city in America looking for associates of such a situation, the massacre yesterday. You say, well, who was he working with? Was he working alone? Was it simply a soldier on Ambien who snapped? Well, I don't know. Why should you jump to that conclusion? Why? Because the leg crossers told you so? Because the government agents are ready? They're out at a lunch already and golfing this afternoon. They did their job. And Obama had the audacity to give a speech with Michelle pecking her on the cheek. And then right as soon as he was through, went right into the fundraiser. Bingo! Without missing a beat. Well, I'm not going to miss a beat, and I'm going to stay on this topic. I haven't taken one call yet. Because as you may know, I'm very agitated. The military and the government are hiding some truths here. They're hiding many truths here, not the least of which is the drugging of our troops. Let's begin with some of the calls on the Savage Nation. WMAL in Washington, D.C. Mike, you're the first up. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage. I find it an immense travesty that we would disarm our troops and expect them to be able to not only defend themselves, but to defend us. Not to mention the fact that it's a well-documented fact that the government has been experimenting with drugs on our troops since the early to mid-50s.
Do you know that not only are our troops disarmed on our bases, this may come as a shock to you and others listening, in a combat zone, do you know how many bullets our troops are issued in their I think it's an M14. You know they're only issued five bullets. Did you know that? Did you know that the girls who run the military are afraid that the troops may have too many bullets? The girls who run the military have not only disarmed our troops on bases, but they have also limited the number of bullets they may have in their magazine to, I believe it's 5 or 7. I don't know the exact number. I had a young man who worked for me a number of years ago, would come back from Iraq. He had been a machine gunner on a Humvee, and we were very proud of him. And he told me that fact. I said, what? It's an M4, isn't it? I think it's an M4. I'm confused by the designation. I know there's a lot of gun experts out there. It's irrelevant. The point is that they're combat-issued arm. They cannot carry a bandolier of ammunition. Now, as far as this individual, Mr. Lopez, the shooter, acting because he had seen combat and seen such horrible things, that's total rubbish. That, again, is part of the government media complex. It's a lie, because according to what we've been reading and you yourself, he never saw combat. He was a truck driver and was never involved in any shootings himself. So you can't blame it upon the horrors of war. Unless, you know, you want to believe that line, and I wouldn't tell you you should, but go ahead, believe what you want. If policemen are required to be armed inside police stations, why? Why would a police station could have their men armed inside a police station? Let's start with a microcosm so you can get a better picture of this. Go to your local town. Aren't all the cops carrying guns when you go in there? Isn't that what you would expect? They all have a 40 caliber on their, right? And you say, okay, well, they're police. They should have a gun. Well, why are the troops disarmed on bases? Because Bill Clinton feared a coup. Hillary Clinton hated the military. You remember her background, what she called the FBI agents or the Secret Service? She called them pigs. Do you remember any of that history, or you're all deaf, dumb, and blind as to what these progressive feminists in this country have done and are doing to this country and to our military? Who do you blame the most? WDRC in Connecticut. George, who do you blame the most and why?
Hey, George from South Windsor, Doctor. I blame the militant secular progressive feminists. But when you mentioned Bill Clinton, I'm glad you mentioned Hillary Clinton, because she's behind everything he's done that appears to be evil from him. The only thing she didn't do was order the pizza from Monica Lewinsky. You know, that's what Bill did as president. She did everything else. I think she was behind every move he made, including...
So you believe it was Hillary Clinton who ordered the disarming of our troops to satisfy the Harridans in the feminist movement with whom she consorts?
Well, she's undoubtedly the next president of the United States. She cannot be stopped. There's no way. And you have to understand that she was the president for those other 8 years that Bill was in the Oval Office with Monica Lewinsky, turning a woman into a humidor, the first president ever to do so in the Oval Office.
All right, that's a funny joke, but I've heard it before. But nevertheless, maybe a little levity at this time isn't such a bad idea. Who do you blame the most, listener, to the Savage Nation? Have you had enough, or shall I go on to something positive? Shall we talk about, let's say, a tattooed goon throwing a ball somewhere? Will that interest you? Or would you like to hear about the latest product coming out from Harvey Weinstein and Company in Hollywood, the man who's out to seize your guns, who's a stock and trade or guns and death? I love it. Virtually every movie he's involved in has violence or pornography in it. The other one that I love is Sean Penn. Every movie, he's either killing someone, dismembering someone, shooting someone, stabbing someone, punching someone, hitting him with a brick. And the next day he's out speaking against guns, even though he was found to have been a gun owner himself. Don't you just love the die-fies of the world? It just doesn't end. It just doesn't end. The phone number here is 855-407-282. We're not celebrating today. We are not celebrating at all. We're trying to bring some sanity to an insane world. And I say it's time to put weapons back in the hands of our warrior class. That's the sound solution. It's also time to put an end to the drugging of our soldiers, by the way. One quick caller before the break. Let's go to WVNN in Alabama. Pat, you make a good point. Make it, please.
Yeah, PTSD. PTSD is a bunch of baloney. Those are weak soldiers. They should all be discharged from the military. We used to have men in Korea and Vietnam.
Well, you know, many men came back from Korea, Vietnam. They were messed up, but they didn't cry about it and go to pieces. That's the truth. They were hurt. They had memories. They had flashbacks. But they were told to keep it to themselves. And by the way, I don't know of any such events from Vietnam vets or Korean vets. Do you?
No. We had.
No, I don't know. No, I don't know of any. I honestly don't know. You know of any of a massacre inside a military base?
No.
No. Ever since they started holding their hands and telling them, oh, I know what's wrong. Oh, poor boy, you have PTSD. Take these drugs. That's when all of this started. I agree with you. That's my opinion. Now, I have to tell you, I'm not going to talk about any other topic today. There are other topics. Massive voter fraud has been discovered in North Carolina. Massive voter fraud. Massive voter fraud found on a study of the voting of the ballots in Columbus, Ohio has been found. And so now you understand the scam of the Democrat Party. Dead people vote, and now living people vote in several states at once. Now you understand the rest of the story. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We're talking about how to stop the Fort Hood massacre from occurring the third time. You would have thought that after Major Nidal Hassan went on his jihad, rules would have been put in place, soldiers would have been given sidearms, and this wouldn't have happened again. But the girls who run the military prohibited that from happening, and we are talking about, as well, we are talking about the drugging of our troops, the over-designation of PTSD as an excuse for, lunatic behavior. And so I think we should continue this discussion, and maybe some of it will trickle up to the girls who are now controlling the military. As you can well imagine, this is just the beginning of what's coming. Not only have the troops been disarmed on base, but the command structure has been decapitated. Most recently, 2 weeks ago, the girl who runs the Air Force, no combat experience, no flying experience, but she is the Air Force Secretary. She dismissed all 8 commanders of our nuclear arsenal for no reason whatsoever. None of them cheated, but she said, well, you were in the command while cheating occurred, so you're all being fired. That's like saying if you catch a student cheating in a school, you should fire the principal or the supervisor of the district. That's what the girls are doing to our military. Let's take the next caller here, Channel 5. Mitch, you're on the Savage Nation. Make your point, please.
Yes, good afternoon, Dr. Savage. I'm former Army and retired 25 years. And, my emotional side says, yes, arm the soldiers. My gut instinct, though, quite frankly, is to say no. And here's the reason. The first responders, whether they are military police or whether they're local law enforcement, have now got to assess a situation where people are down. They're trying to figure out where this shooter is. And they come upon a situation where you have multiple personnel, those that are armed on base, possibly exchanging gunfire. Now, in the case of a one-shooter incident, okay, but let's say you had multiple shooters.
I understand. So they're liable to start shooting innocent soldiers who are just firing back at the lunatic. So you make a good point. So let's backtrack a bit together and use common sense and logic. Why did we hardly ever, if ever, see such incidents prior to the current time? I don't recall any of this happening on military bases 30 years ago. Do you?
No.
So what's doing this then? Is it the drugging of our troops? Is it the disarming of our troops on bases? Or is it a combination of the two? Something is wrong with the picture. I don't know this ever happened in the 50s or 60s or 70s or 80s. It only happened after the troops were disarmed and after the jihadists started to brainwash our military command structure through CAIR and other brainwashing organizations, in my opinion.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
These guys over there are at the mercy of someone who's out on a rampage that we saw yesterday, because they know, the perpetrators of these crimes, know that they're not armed out there. And so I would just, a lot of these gun control people that who are kind of trying to blame the guns instead of the individuals, and allow them to be defended.
Okay.
I think that has to be looked at.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I'm calling for an end to the ban on the disarming of our soldiers on military bases. The phone number is 855-407-282. It's the Savage Nation. And again, there is some confusion amongst the electorate and the educated electorate as to which president actually made our bases military gun-free zones. And the reason is that the original directive relating to gun-free zones was issued during the last months of President G.H.W. Bush's presidency. It was clarified and revised and issued just months into the Clinton presidency. And that's why there's some, confusion as to which president actually did it. So you could argue it was Bush who did it. That wouldn't be too far from the truth, because Bush 1 was a very liberal president, and there's no question in my mind that he did issue the directive. Now, the reasons are probably complex, but some of us, given towards the idea that our government doesn't trust the people and certainly doesn't trust the military, because they know what scoundrels they are, and they recognize that the military used to be a sort of a warning to them that if they got too far out of line, the military would step in and sort of act as a counterbalance to their insanities. No more. Especially now under Obama, the military has been so degraded and so decapitated that it's unlikely there could ever be a counterbalance to the man's one-man rule. But that's a separate topic for another day. We're talking about why it happened again after Major Nedal Hassan. You would say this could never happen again. Well, that's like saying 9/11 can't happen again. After all, they know when you go to the proctologist now. 9/11 couldn't happen again. Why, we have the DHS, which we didn't have before, and you know how good they are. And you know the FBI is certainly looking at every potential radical Muslim in every mosque in America. They're not looking at nuns in convents. You know that. So you should feel sure that just as there could never be another Fort Hood like Nedal Hassan, even though there was one, there will never be another 9/11, because as you well know, we're protected by the geniuses in the NSA, the FBI, the CIA, the DHS, the Defense Intelligence Agency, Naval Intelligence, and God knows what other organizations, which are now spying on innocent people rather than looking at those who might commit violence in the minds of many of us. That's exactly what's happening in the country today. The fact is that the world has changed since the troops were disarmed, by whichever president you may blame. And I believe that the military and governments are hiding the truth. There's another factor that you must consider. A decade of war has left our armed forces filled with people who are mentally deranged or damaged and pose a danger to themselves and others. Some would say that's true. I don't know that that's true. I don't think that that's true. Many of you believe that it's filled with deranged people. I don't believe that at all. But why do you think our military installations have become gun-free zones? Is there something more sinister? Is it to destroy the morale and readiness of our troops, even as we are making our military bases more vulnerable to attack from the inside? Is that the reason? Maybe the pressure of forcing women into combat roles, allowing serious breaks in uniformity like turbans, attacks on Christianity on base, forcing gay and lesbians into the military ranks. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? I don't know. What does it have to do with anything? It's like a pressure cooker, the military, to begin with. And what these differences do, by the way, instead of increasing unit cohesion, all of these differences that Obama and the libs love so much, Instead of concentrating our unit's cohesion, what happens is it disrupts the cohesion of the ranks, and it creates an increased chance that the gas in the room is only waiting for a spark, and then in a gun-free zone, the room goes up in flames. Now, I'm not saying that gays and women and people who wear turbans shouldn't serve. I am saying that all of them should conform to the same rules that had been in place from the beginning. And that is the idea of unit cohesion or fighting as one. When the military becomes a hodgepodge of personal differences, you destroy unit cohesion and thus weaken our fighting forces in the same manner that multiculturalism forced down the throats of a nation disrupts the nation. Everybody knows that that's what's happening. In 2009, Major Nidal Hassan ambushed his fellow soldiers, screamed Allah Baha. He killed 13 and wounded 30 others. Why? Because there were no weapons in the hands of the soldiers. And yet, Fort Hood has still seen a base of a rash of suicides, and now this other attack. Why don't you ask any soldier about what his or her rifle means to them, what it symbolizes? Ask them what they feel about being defenseless as they walk around on the military base. And so as of right now, I implore President Obama, Defense Secretary Hagel, please pay attention as true Americans who are concerned about the safety and security of our men and women in uniform. I beg you to allow our men and women in uniform to defend themselves at home and to permit them to carry weapons on base. That's my call to arms on the Savage Nation. And of course, I would be remiss if I didn't go back to the primary issue of drugs, the drugging of our troops. Just as our children are overly drugged in order to make them to conform, right now there's an epidemic of suicide on our military bases, I believe traced directly to the overuse of prescription drugs, most particularly the class of drugs known as antidepressants or selective serotonin uptake inhibitors, which you can study it yourself what it actually does. But there are many, many cases of violence in our society having been conducted either by school shooters or others, where the people, the perpetrators, were on such drugs. You should look into those as well. And I'd like your opinions on both of these things. The phone number here is 855-407-282. What we're doing here is trying to put sense in an insane world. We're trying to put rationality back to an irrational world. We're trying to put some spine back where there is no spine. We're trying to get the, I don't know how to put it other than to say I'm embarrassed to watch the military men speak today. It made me sad. They're good men, but they've been so constrained by the rules of Obama. They're so afraid of the KGB officers known as feminists who have been placed above them at virtually every command level that they can't say a word. Yes, and back in the ex-Soviet Union days, you see, there were political officers placed in every unit to make certain that everyone on that ship or in that unit conform to the policies of the dictator in the Soviet Union. And so on Soviet submarines in the day, there were political officers. Their job was to listen in on the conversations of all of the men on the sub and make sure none of them were not speaking against the policies of the administration or not following the policies of the administration. And they would report back to the Central Communist Command if they found such an individual. And that person would be taken off the submarine when it came into port and either thrown into the gulag or disappeared altogether, certainly thrown out of the military. We have become like the ex-Soviet Union now with radical feminists and others snooping on our soldiers and reporting on any of them who did not conform sufficient to the edicts of the administration. You may think I'm being dramatic or overly dramatic. You couldn't be farther from the truth. I'm closer to the truth than you are. And the phone number here again is 855-407-282, but I recommend you not call. You will only frustrate yourself because, as you would expect, given that there are so few outlets left in America for people to express themselves on a day like today, that every line is just completely sold out on the Savage Nation. Let's begin with some of the callers. Let's begin WBOB. Robert, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. My question to you is, I've been in active duty military Marines for 6 years now. I'm deployed to Afghanistan, where in Afghanistan we carry our weapons around with us constantly. My question is to you, if you know, these Fort Hood incidents and incidents like this that we've had around our bases in the country, where is my rifle at on my base? It's locked.
I know, that's what I'm asking. And by the way, can you confirm for me that in the combat zone you're only limited to a 5 or 7 bullets in your rifle?
Oh, that's incorrect, sir. We run roughly 3 to 4 full magazines per M16 or M4s, as well as our M9.
Well, because I had a guy who worked for me who was a machine gunner on a Humvee. He told me they were issued only 5 to 7 shots in a single clip. That's all they were allowed to carry. I guess he meant when they were at their base, maybe? That's what he meant?
Possibly, sir. No. And the thing that I've had in the 6 years that I've wandered in this branch of military that I've been in is Marines were trained that every Marine is a rifleman, and in the event that our base has been attacked, or even just as a shooter, as such Fort Hood incident, how long is the reaction time between the time where I can get my weapon out of the armory and then grab my ammo, which is stored completely?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to raise. That's the question I'm raising on my show today, Robert. And I'm a civilian. I'm outraged by the policies of these girly men who run the military. I'm sorry to put it that way, but it's become another world than the one I grew up in. I don't look up to military men anymore. I used to. Yes, the combat man is my hero, but not those with the scrambled eggs on their hats. They're usually just following orders, and they're very dangerous for those out in the field. That's my opinion. The phone number, again, is 855-407-282. I don't have time for another call right now, but I will the minute I come back. If you care to sound off, that opened up one line on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. All right, here comes the cover-up and the lie. I'm looking at Fox News. It says, face of Fort Hood gunman. Friends and relatives say killer angry and distraught after mom's death. Well, when my mother died, I was distraught, but I didn't go on a rampage in the radio station. He was distraught and angry after the death of his mother, claiming he wasn't allowed to immediately travel back to Puerto Rico for her funeral. So that's the excuse now? Look at the garbage that they feed us. Oh, I see. Couldn't go to the funeral, so he had a reason to kill everybody. That makes sense. That makes real good sense. And when my father died in 1970, I wasn't wrecked for 10 years or 20 years. I still remember his death. I still see him in the coffin. Don't you understand what's going on in our society? In my day, first of all, let's back it way up. I'm a man. When I grew up, I had problems. I still do, but I was taught to bury them, to live with them, to deal with them myself. We didn't cry on everybody's shoulder. We didn't go to everybody and cry on everybody's shoulder. This bothers me, that bothers me, boo-hoo-hoo. We were taught as men to deal with it, that life is tough. You know how stupid this is? Let me give you another example. When a dog gets sick, the dog will not say, I don't feel good. Why doesn't a dog cry when a dog is sick unless he's dying? Because the pack would attack a weak dog. Did you understand what I'm saying to you? Now go back in history to the people who predated us on this continent here in North America, the American Indians, here for at least 20,000 years before us. They taught a woman who was giving birth not to even cry out during childbirth if they were on the move. Do you know that? Now, why would they teach their women not to cry out during childbirth while the Native American folks were on travels? That her travails had to be contained because it would have given their position away to their enemies, who were other Native American tribes, or to wild animals that were circling them. I'm giving you examples from another time in human history, another time in cultural history, another time in societal history. This whole feminization of our society, whereas, you know, find your feminine side, let your feelings, wear your feelings on your arm, and we'll help you. Well, they're not helping anybody. They're making people weaker and crazier. As I said to you, we all have issues. Parents die, children die, we get sick. But a healthy reaction is to do something with it other than drugging yourself. You learn to cope. And so, as I said, in my time, If you had these problems, you dealt with them yourself. You walked around with them and you dealt with them. You had complexes, whatever they called them, and you adapted to these problems. And so you'd overcompensate in some ways. Maybe you would become a great athlete. Or maybe you'd become a runner. Maybe you'd become a weightlifter. You would do something to compensate for your inadequacies, if you want to put them that way. Or your feelings of depression, if you want to put them that way. Who doesn't have feelings of depression? It's part of the human condition, but they've turned it into a disease. Because there's money to be made. If you call every human emotion an illness, you can drug it when it's down and drug it when it's up. And so what's the end line? What do you want? Flatliners walking around on the planet? Well, they make for good voters, don't they? Flatliners make for very good voters. So there are a lot of elements that need to be discussed other than the gun or with a shooter or the distraught mother death. It's nonsense. We have a society in decline for numerous reasons. Whether we can ever see a healthy society again is up for debate. I doubt it. I think that the disease is so systemic right now, the weakness is so systemic, that it has now infected our soldiers. I know it's infected our police. It's infecting our prison population. I have a young man who works for me who works in the prisons in addition to radio. He just told me that, am I right? That they're drugging our prisoners to death in the jails. They used to be able to smoke in jail. And then the nanny state said, no, you can't smoke in prison. And what's that for? That's to make certain that they buy drugs in bulk from the pharmaceutical companies. And so you got prisoners now claiming that they don't feel good getting tranquilizers or antidepressants, and they sell them in the prisons to others who were addicted to them. Do you understand what's going on? Do you understand the cycle here and what the nanny state has produced? So in order to fix this, you have to start at the top, because a fish rots from the head down. If we had a strong leader who spoke to you the way I just did and said to you, instead of we'll get to the bottom of it, say I got to the bottom of it, we're changing policies as soon as possible. We're cutting back on the use of prescription drugs. We're going to arm our troops on military bases, and we're going to stop degrading our military. We're going to stop defacing our military, and we're going to give them their self-respect back. That's leadership.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation.
Oh, how modern that is. So computer literate, so Twitter-like, so BlackBerry-ish, so with it.
On Hot Talk 560,
something like this might have happened again. And I don't want to comment on the facts until I know exactly.
All right, there's the Commander-in-Chief last night after the event. And he dashed off to a fundraiser immediately thereafter. Today he gave a follow-up performance. Again, he was heartbroken, kissed Michelle on the cheek, and then resumed his fundraising. You talk about the demoralization of our military, and the insanity of the media is even worse. Here's the San Francisco newspaper. You ready for this headline? Fort Hood gunman sought help. See the narrative? The narrative is that there isn't enough psychiatric help for all of our soldiers, and they all need it because war is so horrible. Fort Hood gunman sought help. So the narrative is, he slipped through the cracks. If only there was treatment. We need more money for mental health. We need to give more medication to people in order to make certain that they're given the help that they need. See, the same garbage, the same narrative, over and over and over. Unstopping narrative. So I'm like a salmon who swims against the course of the river. And I have to keep going until I spawn the truth. That's a nice line. I like that one. I am like the salmon swimming against the raging river, and I must keep going against the river, if need be jumping the waterfall at the end in order to spawn the truth on this program every day, because the raging river of liberal lies is flooding our body politic. I normally would pump the phone number, but I don't need to do it. People are so outraged today. We're talking about the overdrugging of our military, the disarming of our military. And we'll go to the callers right now. Where's the young lady? WJR. WJR, Dennis from Detroit. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Who do you blame today?
Obama, 100%.
Why would you blame the president for this?
Well, he's the commander-in-chief, and if he was a military man, this wouldn't have happened again. That's why we need a military man as a president. That's what I've always
Okay, well, let's be rational. I despise his leadership and his lack thereof, what could he have done over the last few years to have prevented another Fort Hood massacre?
Not get elected.
No, be rational. Come on, you're not being rational. What would a strong leader have done to make sure another Fort Hood massacre would not occur? What could any president have done realistically?
Well, every military man should have been armed on base in the United States, and that's what I always.
All right. Well, that we agree on that. 100% agree on that. Yeah. Yes, and then maybe one person would have been shot before this animal, Mr. Lopez, was reduced to a pile of mush on the floor. So that would be one thing, and of course the overdrugging of our troops is another major element here. WABC in New York. Eric, you're up. Go ahead, fire away, make your point, please.
Michael, the real tragedy of our soldiers, ever since the Gulf War, our U.S. medical doctors are prescribing a lethal combination or cocktail of three following things: Lexapro for depression, Ambien for sleep, and then a combination of benzo, either a Xanax or a Klonopin, and it's deadly. You alluded to it before. The secret lie is a lot of these guys, our soldiers are committing suicide, and they are using our soldiers as guinea pigs, the pharmaceutical companies and our government and
well, testing. Because there's billions of dollars in contracts with the military to push these drugs on the basis amongst normally healthy men. I mean, where were these drugs? Let's say 30 years ago, World War II vets didn't take them. Somehow they coped. Coming back from the worst carnage you could imagine. Vietnam vets came back. Some of them were messed up. They weren't all messed up. I know some Vietnam vets. They adapted quite readily, and they kept to themselves the horrors that they saw. Not everybody walked around needing drugs.
My impression and my analogy is a little Dutch boy with his finger in the dike trying to hold the water back. My understanding is when they came back from the Gulf War, there were just masses of depressed soldiers. They didn't know what to do with them. They just started throwing Lexapro at them.
But why were they depressed from the Gulf War? What was different about that war?
I know. You know what? There's a million factors, and I think it has to do with a lot of society today.
Is it could be the rules of engagement were so restrictive under Bush that they felt hamstrung? They couldn't do their job, like win a war?
Yes, and for lack of a better term, the womanification of our society today. They're really dressing them down and not allowing them to do what they have to do, which is fight.
Yeah, just kill the enemy, in other words. Slaughter the enemy and get the war over with, instead of putting them into a combat zone forever. And then when they do their job too well, call them up on court-martial. Look, I raised a lot of money for Marines unfairly court-martialed by Bush. This is not just a liberal issue. Well, it is a liberal issue, but it's not just a Democrat issue. It's a liberal issue in both parties. It's a liberal feminist way of looking at the military and at our police. And I don't know whether I'm the boy with trying to put his finger in the dike and the flood is impossible to stop, or I don't know whether society is so far gone that it must collapse in order to be rebuilt. I don't have the answer anymore. I don't know whether a single man could change the course of human events. I don't know. I know this. It would be a lot different if we had a military man as commander-in-chief, and I've long felt that a man should not run for office unless he had active combat experience. Otherwise, we're going to get the same type of lawyer slime that we've had for the last number of years. I think if you want to be commander-in-chief, then you must have been down there with the men at some point in order to be a commander-in-chief. Where does this come from, commander-in-chief? George Washington, he did lead the troops. He was commander-in-chief. It's a laughingstock to call Obama a commander-in-chief or Bill Clinton a commander-in-chief. These men have never fired a gun. They never fired a BB gun. How could anybody call them a commander-in-chief? How could they understand the world that we live in? And are we safer today than we were in the year 9/11/2001? Do you actually believe that the jihadists are not in this country plotting to do it all over again? Well, you'd be crazy if you believe that, because they tell us there's one on the loose who planned the Fort Hood massacre, and they don't know where he is. This was sent out as an FBI directive last Friday. Where is he? Where is this Booker Muhammad? This man, Muhammad something or other, whose real name was Booker. They can't find him. The FBI can't find him. None of the intelligence agencies who know who you speak to on your telephone can't find this man. What is wrong with our country that they look at innocent people like us, They make us feel like we're doing something wrong just having a phone call. You know, everyone I know says, oh, yeah, well, we know we're being listened to. Would you believe we've reached that point, that low point in American history under Obama, that every person who has a phone call now believes that they're being listened to or spied on by this illegitimate government of ours, and they accept it without revolting against this illegitimate class of demons, this class of Confucians? You have any idea how far we've fallen that people put up with this garbage? But this very same NSA spying group, you're telling me they can't listen in on Mr. Booker's cell phone? They don't know where he is? They have no idea the whole FBI that's so concerned with so many problems can't find this guy? Well, okay, look, I'm expressing my opinion, which may or may not be your opinion. But the fact of the matter is, it may be your opinion. Because I will remind you of something. I'm not talking to myself in a telephone booth. I'm speaking to millions of like-minded people in the United States of America on a daily basis. I'm on the biggest stations in the country, and you must know that. And if I am telling you these things, others will tell them to you tomorrow. I consider myself the man who drops a pebble in a calm pond, and I am putting two pebbles in the calm pond today. Pebble number one is put the military back where it belongs. Give them the respect they deserve and get rid of the radical feminists who have destroyed every avenue of, every branch of service. Get rid of them. Throw them out of the military. The Secretary of the Air Force should be case number one. If I were president, I would fire her and I would restore the men who were taken out of our nuclear command. I'd hold her up on charges. That was a witch hunt. But that's not the only place where the radical feminists have infected our military. You look, wherever you look, the radical feminists are in charge of these beautiful men who were sent there, who volunteered to defend us. It's the radical feminists who are undermining them. That's step one. Stop drugging the troops. That's step two. And pebble number three is put the weapons back in the hands of our men on military basis. There were no such shootings 40 years ago, 30 years ago. When did the shootings on the bases start? They started in the last few years, and they're a direct result of a disarmed population. They're like school children. They may be brawny. They could be strong men and women. They may be combat trained. But nobody is strong when they're facing down the barrel of a gun. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Savage Nation. We were joking during the break because we need a break too here at the Savage Nation. We have a new Skype system where I can see Neil and Eric. It's amazing. And now it's like I'm not alone after 20 years in radio. I have to get outfits now. I have to shave in the morning. The dog has a new coat as a result. I'm going to give everybody a Savage Nation hat. So there was a story in the local paper that a porn site in an armory. Listen to this. Well, it is related anyway. The San Francisco armory was turned into a porn film hotbed. We've gone from an armory to a porn manufacturing facility in one generation. But apparently the armory is going to have to go out of business because of the evil government forcing them to introduce restrictions on adult films, means porno, driven by worries about the possible spread of blood and fluid-borne diseases such as AIDS, hepatitis, herpes, and other sexually transmitted diseases. So they don't want to conform with that. You know, God forbid they should protect each other and protect themselves. It would make the movie less exciting, I guess, to the psychos who like to see people getting these diseases. I don't understand that, by the way. But nevertheless, they're talking about turning this armory, which became a porn film studio, into offices now. Could you imagine that? And I was joking during the break. I said, well, my mother didn't know. She was an innocent woman, but she said sex is dirty. She didn't know about HIV. It didn't exist in her day. She didn't know about herpes. They never heard of such things. They didn't know about STDs, but they knew sex was dirty. So she recommended eating a lot of food instead. Remember I had her on the show, that famous tape? She said, I don't know. She'd just eat hot dogs and hamburgers and french fries when you get into those moods. Worked for her. She lived to 88. You know, I know we believe, you know, if it feels good, do it, and you have to act everything out. Not in her generation. They didn't have to act everything out. They lived a different lifestyle. They didn't die from repressing their sexual urges, by the way. Hey! You mean they felt an urge and they didn't act on it and they didn't die? No, they didn't die. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's the same, in the same way, it's the same mentality as what I'm telling you about the military. I'm not saying there isn't PTSD, but we all have, you know, relative levels of PTSD in our lives, whether it's the death of a parent, the death of a child, an illness in our family that we didn't expect to occur, and then the death and dying of that person, or our own bodily health diminishing as we age. And what are we supposed to do about it? Cry on someone's shoulder? Well, you could go cry on someone's shoulder. You could also learn to cope in other manners, or not drugging yourself. There are other ways to deal with terrible stresses. There are. That's why vodka was invented in late-night television. That's why dogs were invented by God. So you could pet a dog, watch a show, and have a few drinks. That also works. Of course, that doesn't work. I understand that. And I also know that alcohol is a depressant. Believe me, I'm aware of that as well. So don't take this too literally. And don't produce a scandalous interpretation of what I am saying. We can stick to the main questions, which is, should the troops be armed on bases? Eric, do we have anyone who's arguing rationally why they shouldn't be armed? They should not be armed? Which? I'd like to have one of those callers. Which one? I'd like a nice caller who tells us why we shouldn't have arms on the bases, because it makes logical... No, nobody's daring to call on that subject. I believe that our troops are now major targets for the Muslim enemy. Let's say Islamist enemy, to be politically correct. Here's a police officer, Derek, from FTL in Fort Lauderdale. Derek, welcome from spring break. Give us your opinion, please.
How you doing, sir? Thanks so much for having me on your show. It's actually my birthday in 3 days, so this is an early birthday gift for me to speak to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm a police officer. I've been a police officer for 10 years at a major metropolitan department, and I can't imagine having to walk into my police department and not be armed. Because
that's what I'm saying. You'd be sitting ducks for a lunatic to break in and kill all of you.
Absolutely.
So now that's a microcosm. If every police station is armed and every guy carries a gun, every woman carries a gun in a police station, why shouldn't the same rules apply in a military base? There's only one reason that Bush and Clinton introduced this, as I can tell, and it was because they were afraid of a military coup. Would you agree with that, Derek?
I would, and I would add to that do you think the agents of the Department of Homeland Security aren't armed when they go to their work? Of course they are.
Okay, well, there's another example. All right, you make a good point. You make a very good point. And I, how's spring break down in Fort Lauderdale these days?
It's crazy, like always. It's always crazy.
Are the college girls there doing the Girls Gone Wild act?
Of course.
Yeah, well, didn't happen in my generation. We wished it did. I was born too soon. That's all. I was born in the wrong generation, I'll tell you. 55 minutes after the hour. I mean, maybe these kids have it right. If it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road? Let it all hang out. Look how that's worked out for them. That's worked out real well for them. They're still living in their parents' house at age 40, putting on a hairnet at night, ready to go out to look for girls. That's great. That really worked out well. Okay, that's one man's opinion. We got time for one more caller. We got time for a lot of callers in the next hour, the next live hour in the Savage Nation. I know some of you have to leave us owing to local programming, and that's okay. And then we have a vast number of stations that stay with us through the next hour. And there's one open line at 855-400-7282. It's the Savage Nation. We're talking about what to do to prevent Fort Hood 3 from occurring. Two ideas are arm the troops on bases and stop drugging them to death with antidepressants and et cetera. They drug our children. How many girls today are not on Adderall? I know a young guy who dates women in their 20s. He tells me virtually every girl he dates has been drugged on Adderall since she's an early teenager. We don't live in Brave New World. We live in Drugged New World. The Drugged New World Order. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I personally think if you're trained for combat, you ought to be able to carry a weapon. You know, this is the deal. Al-Qaeda and terrorists and jihadists are targeting our military bases. That is a fact. And if they are trained in warfare, they can carry weapons in warfare. It seems to me that there is some logic to allowing them to carry weapons on a military base where they can defend themselves.
Right. That's Representative McCool making perfectly good sense in a world that's gone mad. And today on the Savage Nation, I called for an end on the ban of disarming our soldiers at bases. I've also called for a reduction in the massive epidemic of dosing our soldiers with powerful antidepressants and Ambien sleep aids at the slightest representation of depression or insomnia. The fact of the matter is we also cleared up a controversy of who disarmed our military personnel, and it turns out it was not Bill Clinton. The first directive that was signed into effect was effected February 1992 by Donald J. Atwood, Deputy Secretary of Defense under President George H.W. Bush. The gun-free zone policy was originally planned under Bush and enacted under Clinton. Planned under Bush and enacted by Clinton, that changed policy regarding carrying firearms on the Army's military bases. And you have to say, well, why would they do that? There were no shootings on bases before this. So why would old Bush say, well, we should disarm them now? Who put that in his head? Who put in his head that they should disarm our troops on bases and turn them into school children who you can't trust? I don't know. You can blame a lot of different people. But it's time to change that policy. There have been nearly 24 shootings at military bases since this disarmament policy went into effect. WorldNet Daily did a great article on this today. And these shootings include the 09 attack at the same Texas post that killed 14 people, including a pregnant soldier and her unborn baby, when Major Nidal Hassan launched the attack with a shot of Allahu Akbar, or Allah is Supreme. You would think that after that they would have armed our men and women on bases. But no, all of these shootings on bases have occurred in gun-free zones. The lunatic left believes that fewer guns mean fewer deaths. The exact opposite is true. Have there been any shootings that you've heard of police and police stations? Not many, if any, right? You haven't seen people go into police stations and mow down cops, have you? Well, thank God, but you know why? Because they'd have their heads blown off before they could pull their gun. And so they don't choose police stations to kill people. The cowards who do these things choose elementary schools, high schools, colleges, and now military bases, thanks to the nanny state, thanks to the feminists, thanks to the women who are running everything in our society. They've turned everything into a gun-free zone. See, if they knew that the people weren't defenseless, they might think otherwise, because they don't want anyone to shoot back. And those are my points today. Instead of wringing our hands every time something like this happens and having a knee-jerk answer of, oh, no guns, no guns, I say we should carry concealed firearms and we should stop drugging our soldiers and our children with dangerous medical cocktails. It's as simple as that. It's not that complicated. At the same time, I raised an FBI directive that was issued last Friday for a Mohammed somebody, whose real name is Hooker, who was on the run. He was planning a Fort Hood-type event, such as that which occurred yesterday, and no one knows where this Hooker or Mohammed is. How is that possible? Lopez was not Mohammed. The shooter was a Mr. Lopez from Puerto Rico. And if you read that it was because Obama gave the big lie again today, knee-jerk answer, he saw horrors in Iraq and it deranged them. No, that's not true. He was a truck driver in Iraq. and he saw no combat. It wasn't because he couldn't deal with it, and it was PTSD. He was just a loose cannon who never should have been on the base to begin with. They should have thrown him out of the military a long time ago. In fact, a long time ago, he wouldn't be in the military. He would have been a Section 8 before he even got in. But because the pool is diminishing because of the overuse of the men who and women who have volunteered, I guess they're taking virtually anybody today in some regard, and he was one of them. And he was a weak-minded individual who was on drugs, and the Ambien did it. The Ambien did it. That's all. I also showed you definitively that the literature supports my statement. And forgive me for the simplicity of that statement, but my monologue in hour number one was killing for a good night's sleep. And I gave you examples of side effects of Ambien. Many of these side effects include violence, such as that which we saw yesterday. The primary care companion for CNS disorders reported Ambien-associated homicides. You may not be aware of that. Quote, this brief report presents two cases in which concomitant Ambien and Paxil use was associated with uncharacteristic complex acts of violence for which the individuals in question claimed total or partial amnesia. Neither individual had a history of aggressive behavior before killing his or her spouse. Both most likely took more than 5 mg of Zolpidem on the night of their the nights of their offenses, close quote. So it should come as no surprise to you that the gunman involved in yesterday's shooting at Fort Hood was being diagnosed for so-called PTSD, which is a rather new diagnosis, by the way. It didn't exist in my time. Now it exists everywhere. Everyone has PTSD. Just as people call themselves survivors who never lived through the Holocaust, but because they survived the loss of a credit card and can no longer shop till they drop, they say in New York now, I'm a survivor. So it watered down the whole meaning of the word survivor. And just as there are many true cases of PTSD from people coming back from combat areas with shell shock, it was called as early as World War I. They called it shell shock in the most extreme cases. Of course there were cases such as that. My father-in-law, may rest in peace, was a wonderful man. I never talk about him. I shouldn't mention his name, but there was a guy who grew up on a farm in Indiana. Farm boy, straight-A student, high school football leader, went to Harvard, was the leader of his football team at Harvard, had a family, was drafted into World War II in the Navy, commanded he was a gunnery officer on a ship in the Mediterranean, and he saw men blown up next to him, so he heard years later. Shell hit. The men sitting next to him were atomized, and their guts were all over his body. And he came back from the war, and he was pretty wrecked from World War II, but he never talked about it. It wrecked him pretty good. You know, he was a top-flight lawyer on Wall Street, on real estate in Manhattan before he left, and I don't want to give you any more details, but it sure upset him. Let's put it to you that way. So we understand there are combat-related issues, mental health issues. Let's not diminish them and say that everyone could just run around the corner and have a drink and go to Joe's Bar. I understand that. There are extreme examples, but not to the epidemic level that we are seeing it today. It's like overdiagnosing anything diminishes the realities of those who are truly suffering from such a disorder. As I said to you, PTSD exists, but not to the epidemic level that the medical pharmaceutical establishment would have you believe it does. It's the same with our children. Drugging them at age 1, 2 with Ritalin, Adderall, destroying creativity, destroying boyish behavior, turning them into little robots. That's another problem interrelated with some of this overdrugging, and it's all profit motive related. In my opinion, it's only one man's opinion. And so if you care to sound off on these issues, I've gone to 15 minutes after the hour. We have one quick caller from WABC right now. Eric, thanks for holding. What's your point? Go ahead, please.
Hi. Listen, with all due respect, we tend to lionize people in the military. Unfortunately, the truth is a lot of people who go into the military...
You got to turn off your radio, Eric, especially if you're listening to another show while you're talking to me.
It's your show, okay.
Yeah.
So I think we tend to lionize people in the military, even though they go into the military because they have no other option. They might have dropped out of high school.
Oh, here we go again. So all people who go in the military are not as smart as you.
Not at all. I just think...
No, they're not as smart as you. What do you do for a living?
I'm a teacher.
Well, you see, if they were as smart as you, they'd be teachers. They wouldn't be dumb idiots in the military.
It has nothing to do with it. I'm saying, like,
no, they wouldn't be the dumb redneck knuckle draggers who go in, you know, losers, in other words, in your mind. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, Eric, you're 100% wrong. You're 100% wrong, and it's rather insulting, by the way. KCMO, Kansas City. Ken, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
How are you?
What's on your mind, Ken? Make your point, please.
My opinion on the epidemic of the PTSD is that, although multifaceted, is at least partial responsibility for that is a dumbing down of the boot camp where they don't get rid of people that they need to because they have dumbed down boot camp so much that...
Okay. Now, this goes into what the teacher was just saying, but it has more rationality. You're saying they let people get through boot camp who in the past would have been booted out.
And the boot camp of 30 years ago is not the boot camp of today.
Well, no. If a woman can't do 10 push-ups, she complains to one of the feminist KGB officers, and they make certain she becomes a lieutenant colonel before the month is up.
Boot camp.
Yeah, they give her a pair of wings, and suddenly she's in charge of the unit because someone looked at her the wrong way, telling her that she couldn't do the push-ups. I get the picture. I know what's going on. And don't think our enemies aren't circling us. Or don't think the enemies who are encircling us don't see this for what it is, which is why they're targeting our military bases. Because Bush / Clinton made them gun-free zones. They're like ducks, sitting ducks in a barrel. It's time to put guns back in the hands of our troops. And if you don't trust them, it's because you're bringing the wrong people in. It's that simple. And if too many of them are untrustworthy, then weed them out in advance. 855-407-282 will get you nowhere because the lines are smacked out. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. The only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com. It's the Savage Nation. I just learned from... Eric, can I tell the story and use your name or not? One of the excellent workers inside my studios, Eric Sanchez, who's only started working a few months ago on the show, and I had no idea. I've always liked Eric. I didn't know more about him. He said his eldest son is a naval aviator, so we got to hear it for young Sanchez. He said his son was gifted as a young boy. How old was he when you saw how good he was? Fifth grade, he had to take him to college classes. Can you imagine that? That's incredible. What a story. So we were talking about the kind of training And then Neil's dad was career military, Neil West. Unfortunately, they didn't send him into basic training before he came to work for me. And Neil said, look, the point is that kids go into the military, and many of them are like children. They're undisciplined. But he said they break you down in basic training and build you back up. And when you come back out of real basic training, you are a soldier, period. You're no longer the same kid who went in. Now, if they've watered down basic training where you're still a kid when you come out, then that's another story. And that we have to talk about at another time. And it's a very complex issue, pardon me. 855-400-7282 is the Savage Nation. WJR Dave, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please. You're on the air with Michael Savage and millions of others.
Yes, Michael. These cowards who always do these shootings always go to a place they know no one is armed. So if we are our military guys in there, I believe we would never even get one person shot.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They usually go to a school where people can't fight back. They don't go to a police station and say, let me in, I want to shoot you. Because they know they wouldn't get through the door, they'd be shot. Isn't it common sense they pick a target that can't fight back? You know, it's been studied psychologically. If you're a psychiatrist, psychologist, you know that. The reason they usually shoot themselves when they know they're about to be caught or shot is because it's a power trip. That's why they pick little children, as in Sandy Hook, or an unarmed military base installation. Because they know that they're going to be, a big man for those few minutes. Suddenly they're a giant. They're 10 foot tall. Or in this case, the guy was on Ambien and he may not even know he did it. How do you like that? I had an experience with Ambien once in my life. I think I've told it to you before. It's not an epidemiological fact. I took it once over 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago. I went to Las Vegas to a trade conference. I don't sleep well when I travel. And I think, I had a condominium there at the time. I remember sitting on the edge of the bed, taking Ambien. I fell asleep in my clothing and woke up in the morning at the edge of the bed. It's a wonderful drug for knocking you out. Now, I don't really know what I did. It wasn't, I don't know. I don't know what I did in Vegas that night. Truthfully, I mean, they say, what was that movie in Vegas? That just the three of them, awful. The third one was the worst with those three kids. Hangover. I don't know whether it was Hangover 1, 2, or 3, but I think I just laid on the edge of the bed all night. But the fact of the matter is, I really don't remember any of the night. I have no recollection of it. It's a hypnotic state that it puts you in, and you're capable of anything. Hangover 3 was so bad, I watched it. I was bored the other night, and I watched it just to fill up some space. I never saw a movie as bad as this in my life. It was horrible. How could they even produce such a thing? And racist, too. They can turn a chow and say things about him, and racially, I mean, really, you talk about putting down Asian people. He was a stereotype in the butt of every joke. Anyway, just a little side note. I got to lighten it up for a moment here on the Savage Nation. We're going to continue to talk about this and other subjects on the Savage Nation. Lily, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation. Make your point. Go ahead, please.
My son is a Navy veteran. He joined the Navy in the fall of 1990, and his basic training class was the first class to not be issued guns. And that was during H.W. Bush's term.
That's right. It was a mandate, a directive put out by Bush 1 and enacted across the landscape of the military bases by Clinton, who's blamed for it. But it was Bush 1 who disarmed our men and made them basically sitting ducks. Thank you for the enlightenment on that, but we know that. It was Bush 1 who actually gets the credit for having created the directive to disarm our troops. So you can blame the liberals for it, in either case, because by any estimation, he was very liberal socially, although a wonderful man and, I think, a fairly good president. He was extremely liberal socially.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
I personally think if you're trained for combat, you ought to be able to carry a weapon. This is the deal. Al-Qaeda and terrorists and jihadists are targeting our military bases. That is a fact. And if they are trained in warfare and they can carry weapons in warfare, it seems to me that there is some logic to allowing them to carry weapons on a military base where they can defend themselves. The problem here, and with Fort Hood, the prior Nadal Hassan case, was that they couldn't defend themselves because they were not allowed to carry weapons. So I think the policymakers, Congress, we need to revisit this procedure, this policy, to see if we should arm them so they can better protect themselves.
That's Representative Mike McCall. God bless him. He's 100% right. But what's amazing is to think that we're even discussing this after Nadal Hassan's massacre. I am going to go on record once again. I'm calling for an end to the ban on the disarming of our soldiers on bases at home. I'll say it again. I said it before when Nadal Hassan, the Muslim major, went in his rampage. I explained to you that it was started by Carter and then enacted by Bill Clinton. Both of these left-wing fanatics were afraid of a military coup, and one of their first acts as president was to disarm our troops. There was no other reason for it. It was part of the fear of the left of a military coup. Do you understand? Do you get it through your thick heads? What's going on and the damage that these liberals have done and are still doing to our country? And so Obama had the nerve to welcome back the First Lady, who graced us with her presence a few minutes ago. She finished with her globe hopping. Her Easter break is over. Back home now, mom is home, the daughters are home, and he kissed her on stage to show us what a great marriage he has. And then he had the nerve to tell another whopper. Once again, the minute he opens his mouth, he starts to lie. And there he was again, talking in the fake somber tone that he's known for, to say that this tragic shooting at Fort Hood was the result of the stress, the combat, the horrors of war. Well, this Ivan Lopez apparently was a truck driver in Iraq and never saw any combat. So it doesn't really fit the president's narrative, but that doesn't affect the president's narrative. It never does. But we have to, again, stick to the two factors that are very important that we can have an effect upon. I call for an end to the disarming of our soldiers on our bases. That's number one. I also call an end immediately to the military, medical, pharmaceutical complex that is dumping drugs on our soldiers like they're a bunch of guinea pigs at the University of California, Berkeley. Just a bunch of guinea pigs to sell drugs to and test drugs on. And these are the important facts, the side effects of Ambien, the side effects of serotonin reuptake inhibitors are well known. There are acts of homicide and violence associated with these drugs. And you should know this. And you absolutely should know for your own sake that you may be killing yourself and hopefully not others as well for a good night's sleep. Now, there's another story that I must, that I'd be remiss if I didn't bring it up again. And I'm the only one in the country in the media that I know of putting two and two together. I'm not sure there's a relationship, but I'm not sure there isn't a relationship. Last Friday, there was an alert put out by the FBI, and the alert had a title of it on it. The alert was sent out by the FBI's Kansas City Division on Friday and distributed through the United States Marine Corps. The alert had a title, and the title was, quote, Planned Fort Hood-inspired Jihad Against U.S. Soldiers by Army Recruit, close quote. And it was issued to inform and protect officers who may encounter this individual or others exhibiting the same aspirations. The source of the information contained in the alert was listed as an FBI agent. According to the alert issued last Friday, I'll read it to you. On 20 March 2014, the Kansas City Division FBI became aware of an individual named Booker, a.k.a. Muhammad Abdullah Hassan, who had publicly stated his intention to commit jihad, bidding farewell to his friends and making comments indicating his jihad was imminent. Booker had been recruited by the U.S. Army in Kansas City, Mo, in Feb 2014 and was scheduled to report for basic training on 7 April 2014. Kansas City Division agents interviewed Booker on 20 March 2014. Now, the minute this had happened yesterday, the first thought I had was, it's Booker. This guy, Muhammad Abdullah Hassan, did it. Well, as it turned out, it was not Booker. But the question is, where is Muhammad Abdullah Hassan? If there was an all-points bulletin for him out on Friday, and everyone in our intelligence community was looking for him, where is he? Did he have anything to do with this? Doesn't it make common sense to put two and two together if you were a homicide investigator? If you're a common cop in any city in America looking for a associates of such a situation, the massacre yesterday, you say, well, who was he working with? Was he working alone? Was it simply a soldier on Ambien who snapped? Well, I don't know. Why should you jump to that conclusion? Why? Because the leg crossers told you so? Because the government agents are ready, they're out at a lunch already and golfing this afternoon, they did their job, and Obama had the audacity to give a speech with Michelle pecking her on the cheek, and then right as soon as he was through, went right into the fundraiser. Bingo! Without missing a beat. Well, I'm not going to miss a beat, and I'm going to stay on this topic. Let me back up. There's too much at one time here. We are talking about the shooting at Fort Hood. It's because the soldiers were not armed that they were shot down like ducks in a barrel. Let me repeat that for those of you who are gunophobic in New York City on the Upper West Side. Those of you who jump when a truck backfires. Those of you who hate the police and call the police when a truck backfires thinking there's a terrorist event and they're coming for you personally. More guns means less death on a military base. Had there been arms on every soldier's hip, after that gun went off and everybody pulled a gun, he would have been dead after the first or second shot. And there wouldn't be a strew of victims lying on the floor. The same with Nidal Hassan. Now, you have to ask yourself, why? What? What? Savage, you're telling me that soldiers are disarmed? I didn't know that. How is that possible? Well, one of Bill Clinton's first acts as president after taking office in 1993 was to disarm American servicemen on U.S. military bases. Of course, he then proceeded to gut the U.S. military, by the way, closing one base after another, forcing senior servicemen into retirement in droves. No wonder he wanted those bases disarmed, but that was 20 years ago, and the world has changed dramatically since 1993. Our military installations, because they are gun-free zones, did you hear what I just said? Our military bases are like Sandy Hook Elementary School. They've now become targets for Muslim terrorists. And still, the cowards with brass on their shoulders refuse to lift Clinton's ban of our military men. I will continue on this path in a moment, but I want to do a flashback so you know that this is not coming from me just today. Neil, this was done a few years ago. I think it was done at the time of the Fort Hood massacre, the first one. Clip number two. Let's listen to what I said then. Talking about the insane liberals like Schumer, Turbin Durbin, and others who were talking about gun control, and idiots such as Nadler in New York saying that only the government should have the power to kill, which is astounding to me. I've given you the record of what happened after gun control in various countries, but let me bring it home to you so you can have something to argue about this over Christmas with. Fort Hood massacre. Clinton disarmed soldiers on military bases. So the death of all these people at the Fort Hood military base really falls in the hands of Bill Clinton, but you'll never hear that in the media. Did you hear what I just said to you? Why was one Muslim major, Nidal Hassan, able to walk onto a military base with a few handguns and kill 13 and wound 32? Why was there no return fire? Because our troops were disarmed by Bill Clinton, quote, to stop potential violence. And what happened as a result of Clinton's gun control? The rest is history, the Fort Hood massacre. Muslim Major Nidal Hassan had the gun. The soldiers couldn't defend themselves. They were massacred. Do you know that not only are our troops disarmed on our bases, this may come as a shock to you and others listening, in a combat zone, do you know how many bullets our troops are issued in their M14? You know they're only issued five bullets? Did you know that? Did you know that the girls who run the military are afraid that the troops may have too many bullets? The girls who run the military have not only disarmed our troops on bases, but they have also limited the number of bullets they may have in their magazine to, I believe it's 5 or 7. I don't know the exact number. I had a young man who worked for me a number of years ago, had come back from Iraq. He had been a machine gunner on a Humvee, and we were very proud of him. And he told me that fact. I said, what? It's an M4, isn't it? I think it's an M4. I'm confused by the designation. I know there's a lot of gun experts out there. It's irrelevant. The point is that their combat-issued arm, they cannot carry a bandolier of ammunition. Now, as far as this individual, Mr. Lopez, the shooter, acting because he had seen combat and seen such horrible things, that's total rubbish. That, again, is part of the government media complex. It's a lie, because according to what we've been reading, he never saw combat. He was a truck driver and was never involved in any shootings himself. So you can't blame it upon the horrors of war, unless you want to believe that line, and I wouldn't tell you you should, but go ahead, believe what you want. Okay, now listen, this is what I said on this show after the first Fort Hood shooting by Major Nidal Hassan. Do you think anything has changed? Listen. So there's Obama speaking about due process. There he is making sure that the murderer, he calls a gunman, by the way, which is interesting, not a terrorist, not an assassin, not a homicidal maniac, but a gunman, as though the guns did it. Well, I think he should further disarm the military. I think he should take away those nasty toys from the military, because they may just hurt somebody. After all, the men who were disarmed by Jimmy Carter were shot down like sheep because they didn't have guns. Clinton disarmed soldiers on military bases. So the death of all these people at the Fort Hood military base really falls in the hands of Bill Clinton, but you'll never hear that in the media. Did you hear what I just said to you? Why was one Muslim major, Nidal Hassan, able to walk onto a military base with a few handguns and kill 13 and wound 32? Why was there no return fire? Because our troops were disarmed by Bill Clinton, quote, to stop potential violence. And what happened as a result of Clinton's gun control? The rest is history, the Fort Hood massacre. Muslim Major Nidal Hassan had the gun. The soldiers couldn't defend themselves. They were massacred. They were massacred. Now, why did Clinton disarm our troops on military bases? The lie was because he wanted to stop potential violence from occurring. That was not the reason. It was because Clinton was afraid of a military coup. That's why he disarmed our troops, who were still disarmed, and helpless as sheep on military bases. Oh, yeah, I'm the only one who seems to know who did it. We looked into it. You see, back in the 50s, let's go back to movies like From Here to Eternity, Frank Sinatra, the great movie set in Hawaii, Pearl Harbor, a fort in Hawaii around just the time of Pearl Harbor. All men in the barracks had guns because they were soldiers, you see, and soldiers were allowed to have guns. That's when soldiers were soldiers. What do you want me to do, not see what's going on in this country? You want me to not tell you what I see? All right, I'll tell you what I don't see. I'll sit here like John Schmo. Okay, I'll give you the NBC viewpoint. It's guns that did it. The poor man was picked on because he was a Muslim. And he finally snapped because he had a toothache. Did you hear that one? That was Geraldo Rivera. You know him as Geraldo Rivera. I know him as Jerry Rivers. Jerry Rivers, that disgraceful creature from the Black Lagoon on Fox News. I have no idea what Roger Ailes is thinking. Why does he keep this creature on the air? This is the same Jerry Rivers who gave away troop movements during the Iraq War on the air. This is the same ham who now comes out. You want to hear what he said? Listen.
Well, I don't know what motivates him, John Stossel, but to suggest that he's a terrorist, doesn't that of necessity require that he conspires with someone, that he has some communication? As far as I know, his computer shows no links with anybody. This is a guy, he's a sociopath, he's a criminal. He could have had a toothache and gone off because of that.
Roger Ailes should fire Jerry Rivers. I mean, I've never heard anything like a network like this melting down faster than the White House. This schmuck doesn't even have his facts straight. He had no correspondence with anybody. He didn't even read the news. FBI refused to probe Fort Hood Jihadi despite contact with Al-Qaeda. Major Nidal Hassan corresponded by email late last year and this year, several emails, many emails, with a radical cleric in Yemen who was criticizing the United States for waging war against Muslims. But the contact did not lead to an investigation owing to what? The government media complex. Slimeballs like Jerry Rivers and incompetent flatfeet like our intelligence agencies. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Now, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Time is quite limited, but as this hour draws to a conclusion, I want to read you the narrative that you're going to be seeing over the next few days from the liberal press. Here is the narrative in the Daily News, pictured. Fort Hood gunman who took own life and killed three others, was furious at army ban on him attending his mom's funeral. So there's the narrative from the left-wing press. As an example, I'm showing you what the Daily News is writing. I don't know who writes this rubbish. In other words, if the military let him go to his mother's funeral, he wouldn't have killed. That's what they're suggesting, which is such garbage it's hard to even digest this level of insanity. My mother died 5-6 years ago, as I said earlier in the show. I was heartbroken over it. I was very heartbroken over it. I didn't run through the halls of the radio station and execute people. What I did was deal with my pain the way I've dealt with pain my whole life. What kind of garbage is this that we're supposed to digest from the media? Fort Hood gunman was upset they wouldn't let him go to his mom's funeral. Oh, that's according to a newspaper in his native Puerto Rico. They already gave the excuse for one of their local boys, in other words. That instead of being embarrassed for what he did, they're already covering his tracks. And the Daily News, to their, you know, to their shame, pick up on this garbage. Argument with someone at base before shooting, that was yesterday, remember? Now it's the mother's funeral, that's the next day. 34-year-old Ivan Lopez was initially angry that he was not given permission to attend his mother's funeral, but he had been given a 24-hour pass to attend. A friend said Lopez also mentioned he had an argument with someone at the base prior to the shootings. Oh, well, there's the second reason he should kill. He had an argument, so he went and killed. Okay, you understand the narrative, the left-wing narrative. He slipped through the cracks. He wasn't given enough drugs. He didn't get enough mental health treatment. Well, he shouldn't have been in the military to begin with. He was a loser and a loose cannon. And in another day, they would have rejected him, never would have accepted him. End of story. He never saw combat. He drove a truck. It's a result of the drugs and the disarming of our troops. And that's all I have to say on the matter today. Good night and good luck. It's Michael Savage.